Come sit with us at Berean Bible Fellowship. We're about to listen to Pastor Bruce David Bell as the Lord speaks through the truth of His Word. Come sit with us.
There's a statement that's found at the end of the book of Judges. A statement that describes the people of that time. A statement that perhaps describes the people of our time as well. The Lord says this, everyone did what was right in his own eyes. A rather convicting observation. The Word of God does not allow for our perspectives. We cannot speak and act according to what is right in our own eyes. The truth is not relative. It is absolute. We need to rely on the Spirit of God as He gives us the perspective of God as we read and as we study His Word. And so today we look to the Lord. We look to Him. We wait on Him. We seek His faith. We seek to understand His Word. We seek for Him to give us illumination and direction for our lives. And so, let us see what He will say to us today. Over the last 4 weeks, as we have been looking at those 6 days in which God created the heavens and the earth, a word that comes to mind is the word transcendence. A word in English that comes from 2 Latin words, trans, which means to go beyond, and scandere, which means to climb or to ascend. And over these last 4 weeks, we have gone beyond the limitations of human comprehension. We have ascended to the heights of the unlimited power of the divine. We have been in uncharted waters as we have witnessed God create the heavens and the earth and, yes, the entire universe by the word of His power. A testimony to the fact, we are told in Psalm 115, verse 3, that our God is in the heavens, and He does whatever He pleases. He does not need our permission to do what He chooses to do. He transcends our ability to fully understand what He does and why He chooses to do what He does. And so, we are told in verse 1 of Genesis chapter 2 that after 6 days, as the result of the Word of God, the heavens and the earth were completed. Kala in Hebrew. The hymn of His creation had come to its conclusion. He had accomplished all that He set out to accomplish. The creation of the earth, the creation of the entire universe, and all its hosts. Salah in Hebrew. The vast array of all things, both small and great. Things that can only be seen with a microscope. And things that can only be seen with a telescope. Everything stood in its proper place. Everything was in order, like an army of soldiers in formation. And so, by the seventh day, God had completed his work of creation. Melachah in Hebrew. His plan, his purpose stood firm in its perfection, in all that he had done. And so it says in verse 2 that he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had done. Shabbat in Hebrew. He ceased from his labor. There was only silence in the heavens. What more could he add to perfection? As he said in verse 31, in Genesis chapter 1, all that he created was exceedingly good. There was no sin. There was no death. There was no sickness. There was no decay. There was no fear. There was only peace and harmony and perfection. And so we're told at the end of Genesis chapter 1 that there was evening and there was morning, the sixth day, the final day of the creation of God. And all that he did without an expenditure of energy, without a loss of strength. It was effortless. He did not need to rest, but he chose to rest in his perfection. As we're told in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 28, where it says, "Do you not know? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, does not become weary or tired." As it further says in Exodus chapter 31, "In 6 days the Lord made the heaven and the earth, but on the seventh day he ceased from his labor and he was refreshed." Nahash in Hebrew. He was satisfied. Like a master builder, on the seventh day, God surveyed his work and he was pleased with all that he had created. It lacked nothing. It was a perfect world. It was a perfect universe. And at this point, it might be helpful to remind ourselves of the significance of the number 7 that we find here and that we find throughout the Bible. Because though all of the other numbers in the Bible seem to vary in their meaning, depending upon the text in which they are found, and depending upon their context, their frame of reference, the circumstances in which they appear, unlike all of those other numbers, 7 seems to consistently express the idea of completion, the idea of perfection, the perfection of God. For example, in Revelation chapter 13, at the end of that chapter, we are told that the number of the Antichrist will be the number 666. The number of a man, we are told. What is God saying here? What is he trying to tell us? What do these numbers mean? Well, we know that man was created on the sixth day, right? And though at the time of the Antichrist, the people will believe that he is God. In Revelation chapter 13, we are told that he will be just a man. No matter how many times we repeat the number 6, even 666 times, it will never become a 7. This man will never be God. 7 is the number of God alone, the number of his perfection, the number of the perfection of his creation. And so, we are told in verse 3 of Genesis chapter 2 that God blessed the seventh day, Barak in Hebrew. He pronounced a blessing upon that day. He set it aside. But we're not told that he commanded man to do anything special on that day. But we do know that it was certainly a unique day. It was a day of blessing because the work of God in creation was now complete. It was finished. It was Saturday. And though hundreds of years later, God did command the children of Israel to set aside Saturday as a Sabbath, Shabbat in Hebrew, as a day of rest, it was also to be a picture for them, a picture of the rest that is to come, a picture of the rest that can only be found in God, that can only be found in the Messiah, that can only be found in Christ. And that command to observe Saturday as a day of rest is not repeated in the entire New Testament. Why? Because that picture has been fulfilled. It has given way to reality in Jesus Christ, where there is rest, where there is spiritual rest for our soul. So we're told in Hebrews chapter 4, we must be diligent not to harden our hearts in unbelief and in disobedience, as the children of Israel did in the wilderness. Look at their example. They died in the wilderness because of their unbelief. We can only enter into the rest of God through the work of Jesus Christ for us on the cross. Now, the work of God is truly finished, because now we can truly rest in Christ. Rest that was destroyed when sin entered into this world. So, what does this day of rest in Genesis chapter 2 have to do with us? Those of us who belong to Jesus Christ. Well, perhaps Saturday is to be a day of remembrance for us. A day when we remind ourselves that on that day, God rested from his work in creation. There's a blessing for us. It's a day to remember. A day to remember what God did for us, what he did for us in 6 days. A reminder that he is our creator. A reminder that he is the sustainer of our lives. That might be an interesting way to begin Saturday. And we are also told in verse 3 of Genesis chapter 2 that God sanctified the seventh day, kadash in Hebrew. He set it apart because before the fall of man, it marked the completion of the perfection of his creative work. So it was a holy day, because on that day, God rested from all his work, which he had created, bara, from all that he had shaped and formed, from all that he had made, we're told, asa in Hebrew, all that he had accomplished. But interestingly, in this passage of Scripture, it does not say that there was evening and there was morning on the seventh day, does it? Though we know that there was. So why does that not appear in the Scriptures? It is because that day was not designed to end. It was to continue. The rest was to continue. But we have marred His creation. We have defiled that rest. As we are told in Isaiah chapter 59, where it says that our iniquities have made a separation between us and our God, and that because of our sin, He has hid His face from us so that He does not hear us when we pray. It says our hands are defiled with blood. Our fingers are defiled with iniquity. Our lips have spoken lies. Our tongue mutters wickedness. We're full of violence, it says. We embrace our sin. We have lost the rest of God because of our sin. But the good news is this. We can regain that rest. How? In Christ. We can regain that fellowship with God. The fellowship that Adam and Eve enjoyed in the Garden of Eden before they sinned. Paradise was lost on the day that they sinned. But paradise can be found once again. There is a way back to the garden. There is a way back to God. We can enjoy the rest of God forever, transcending this world, transcending our sin through Christ Jesus, our Lord.
You've been listening to Bruce David Bell, pastor of Berean Bible Fellowship. If the Lord has ministered to you through this message and you would like more information, then visit us on the web at bbfva.org.